So if you could find our text for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and one verse there, verse 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 57. If you're able, would you please stand? Let's honor God as we stand to hear the Word of God read from my lips and your ears as your eyes participate. And we then we'll ask God for His blessing upon our time together. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. It reads this way. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's read that again. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, we come to you now in sincerity, humbling ourselves before you and asking you, Lord, to meet with us now, make your presence and power known. As we together come to your word, we need you to work in our hearts so that we would not only understand what you have to say to us, but we would see how it applies to our lives. And then, Lord, we ask you for grace to order our lives according to your word and your will. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Again, we're continuing on with this series in grace. And you remember last week, we looked at grace as it is revealed in humility, right? Grace in humility. And what we found out as we looked at James chapter 4, first few phrases there in verse 6, is that pride, just the opposite of humility, right? Pride impedes a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because God opposes the pride.
Amen.
You cannot have a good relationship with God and be proud.
Mm-hmm.
But humility, on the other hand, as I said last week, enriches this relationship with God because God gives more grace to those who are humble. So there's a close relationship with God when you're humble. You can't walk close with God and be independent and be prideful and want to do things your way. You may think you're walking close with God, but it cannot happen.
Amen.
It does not coexist. A good relationship with God and pride do not coexist.
Amen.
So James 4, 6 through 10 helps us to see that. Even when you struggle, God says, I'll give you grace. I know you're weak. I know you've been beat down, but you're not destroyed. And I'll meet you there. I'll walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yes, sir.
You still walk close to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even through discouragement and hurt and pain, mm-hmm. See, you can still walk close to God.
I'm going
to
be humble.
We also saw, though, that pride is a problem when you're trying to have a relationship with people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? James 3. 14 through the early part of chapter 4 shows that the reason that pride impedes relationship with people is because it stirs up all of these, it has all these sinful ramifications to it, right? Pride, you find yourself jealous of someone, you're trying to have a relationship with them, and you're looking at them and thinking about how much you want what they got. You know, and the bitterness and anger. You're thinking about what they did to you last month or last year. See, right? Pride is always thinking about myself. I'm trying to have a relationship with you, thinking about me.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have a close relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have some interest in me if you want to have a relationship with me, and vice versa, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't be two independent folks trying to have a relationship with each other. This doesn't work that way. But humility, on the other hand, enriches a relationship between people. Why? Because a believer can willingly accept the fact that God has set up an order in this world.
Amen.
God has set up an order in this life. And I submit myself, first of all, to God, because I want to have a right relationship with Him. But I also submit myself to the order of God in the church. We saw that, right? 1 Peter 2, 13 through chapter 5. God has an order in the church. And the only way for there to be good relationships between people in the church is to submit to what? God's order.
Amen.
God has an order in the family. And the only way that family going to have good relationships between people in that family, the family submits to what? God's order. Yeah, on the job, Peter goes on to say, you don't just submit to bosses because they're fair.
Amen.
The Christian learns to submit to the boss because they're what? The boss.
Amen.
And God said, let me take care of them. You do what I tell you, I got that covered. And if you've been a Christian long, you know that's right.
Amen.
You know how there was this backstabbing and all kind of things going on, but God took care of you.
Yes. That's right.
And sometimes took care of them.
Amen.
The king's heart is like what? Rounds of water, tons of water in the Lord, and he turns it wherever he wants.
Yes.
Let God take care.
Amen.
The boss.
Amen.
You just submit and do your job.
Amen.
As what? Unto
the Lord.
Seen it myself. I'm not telling you what I think.
Yeah.
Right? Same in the government. He said, I don't agree what the government's doing. Said, that's all right. He asked you whether you agree or not. He says, submit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I got the government covered.
Right.
I put them in place. I put presidents in place. I take them out of office.
Yeah.
I put senators in Congress. Right? That ain't, in America, we happen to vote. Yeah, you vote. But when it's all said and done, God says, I got it under control.
Amen.
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 You just submit to whoever is there.
Amen.
And let me work it. Not only that, pray for them.
Amen.
Humble yourself. Pray for them.
Amen.
Right? That's God's order.
Yeah.
But humility is what helps me function well in the church. Humility helps me function well in my family. You see, on my job, you can't do that if you're prideful.
Mm-hmm.
You are a problem. You are a problem Christian if you are arrogant and you're just like everybody else on the job.
Amen.
And so nobody's going to be coming to you saying, well, how do you handle it, huh? Because you're not handling it.
Yeah.
You're just like me. You fuss just like I do. You're scheming and just like that.
Amen.
But humility says, I'm going to do it God's way. And I'm going to trust God that if I do it His way, He's got it under control.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not. But you see, God, yes I did. I think I told you this. The grace of God gives us the ability to have the victory over Satan is tempting us all the time. He's an adversary. He doesn't want you to be humble. He wants you to be as proud and as arrogant and stubborn as you can be. And thinking that, I've got this, I don't have to do that. And you don't realize that what pride goes, what? You are headed for a fall. There's no way you can stand up as a proud, arrogant Christian.
That's
it's like an oxymoron.
Amen.
Grace enables you to resist Satan when he's there telling you, you don't have to take it. You don't have to do it. You know, that's, you see all that satanic thing. It's an amazing thing. Have you ever noticed that you have these thoughts? Where did that come from? What am I thinking that? You ever heard that? They come. The problem is, what do you do when the thoughts come?
Amen.
The temptations come. The problem is, what do you do when it comes? You see? We've got to be, Jesus was tempted. The issue is, what do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
And so grace enables you to have victory over that. Victory. Victory over every other sin. And then if you look at the end of 1 Peter 5, verse 12 in 1 Peter 5, it says, this is the true grace of God. And if you don't, I'm telling you, if you're not functioning this way, you need to examine your life.
Mm-hmm.
Peter goes on to say, you need to test yourself with these character qualities. You remember how he gives a list of those character qualities in chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1? You need to test yourself.
Amen.
Humility is a character of a Christian. Grace enables you to be humble.
Amen.
Check yourself to see if you got grace operating in you.
Mm.
This is One of the reasons we're spending all this time is for us to see the value of grace to the Christian. Grace not only saves you, grace keeps you.
Amen.
And grace will take you what?
Home.
Take you on home.
Amen.
By grace. Don't ever, ever, ever minimize grace.
Amen.
And just like God dealt with you by grace, you need to deal with what? Other
Amen.
People. How? Grace is to be is essential for being a Christian, for the Christian life. We good?
Amen.
And so as we come today to look at our subject today, we're going to be talking about giving thanks and grace, right? Grace in thanksgiving. And so grace in thanksgiving, I'll show you how I developed this in just a minute. But we're using one verse as kind of a springboard to help us take a little journey through the scriptures today. Here's the way I divided up my thinking. We're going to look at grace and thanksgiving for gospel privileges. And then we're going to look at what I call grace and thanksgiving for gospel blessings. Okay? So we've got privileges that come by grace. We've got blessings that come by grace. Okay? I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible. So try to follow with me on this. What I did, let me just tell you this right up front so you can kind of see where we're going here. If you turn to, if you follow me, you can see it. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. After we look here, I'll show you what I did as God helped me to bring this word together. You got Colossians 3:16? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, you see the word thankfulness in that verse? I hope it's in most translations.
Yeah.
Thankfulness. You know what that word translates from? It's the word charis. You heard that? Charis is the word that's translated as grace in most places. So when you remember when you were growing up and somebody says, honey, would you say what?
Grace.
This is what they're saying. Because grace means thankfulness. Okay? And here's what I want you to see, is that a Christian who has grace operating in them is thankful. Okay? And so when you sit down to that food, that the first thing that ought to happen when you see it is grace ought to be stirred up inside you to say, thank you, Lord.
Uh-huh.
So the word itself means thanks, thankfulness. And what I did is I traced it through the scriptures, and you're going to look at the places where grace is translated as thankfulness or thanksgiving, okay? That's all we're going to do today. So that you can see just some examples of ways and circumstances under which the Christian ought to be thankful because grace in you says, really, remember to be thankful for this.
Amen.
Okay? So right here, as we look at Colossians 3:16, I want to say this to you. The heart, we've talked about this before, but it's been quite a while. When we say the heart, you know that we're not talking about the organ in your body that pumps blood. Okay, the heart, biblically, the heart is defined as the innermost part of your being where you have your will, right? It's where decisions are made. That's in your heart. It's where you think about matters, right? As the heart thinks and ponders, so you are, okay? It's also where you feel. It's where your emotions work on you, okay? That's in your heart, okay? And so, though I call it the innermost being, I'm always reluctant to point to some part of the body. The Bible, when it refers to the heart, we actually sometimes call it the belly. You know how sometimes you get those You ever had those butterflies? You get that nervous. That's the reason the Bible would refer to it as the belly, is because that's when you feel things happening in your heart. You feel the result of it sometimes in your stomach. You know what it means? And so it's that innermost part of us that controls the will, the emotions, and our thinking. Now, the heart is affected and persuaded by information, whether it's true or not. Information affects the way you think, right? Paul in Romans 6, thankful that people there in Rome were persuaded by the teachings of the scriptures, okay? They were convinced by the scriptures that came to set them free.
Amen.
You see? Free from sin, okay? And so, don't ever minimize the impact of information on you, okay? That's the reason you want to, with the things you take in, you want to make sure that they are true.
Amen.
Because they affect your heart, okay? They affect the way you think and the way you feel. The Word of God and the Spirit of God in the heart produces thankfulness. Look at our verse. You got Colossians 3. Look at what he says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then what is it going to do? Teach and teach. When the word of God is in you and motivating you, you'll teach and admonish others. With what? Wisdom. When the word of God is in you, you will sing. You won't sit around and clasp your hands and act like you're not moved by the singing. But when the word of God is in you, it has to come out of your lips. Singing and making melody with your heart. You don't have to apologize for that. Paul says the same thing that happens to you in Ephesians, right? He describes it the same way. When you be filled with the Spirit, what? The same thing happens. You sing, you make melody. You pray because the Spirit of God is in you.
Amen.
But you notice, keep on reading. Look a little further in 3:16. Colossians 3:16. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Look at this. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. Mm. When the word of God fills your heart, it makes you thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Thankful. Because truth does that to the Christian.
Mm. Amen. Mm.
The truth sets you free.
Amen.
You're not moved by what folks think and feel.
Well,
you're not tossed to and fro. I'm free.
Well,
and I'm thankful to be free.
Mm.
Right? Thankfulness. And so, that's a part of what I want you to keep in mind, that thanksgiving must come from the heart. It's from the heart. I'm not talking about faith. I'm not talking about pretending that you're thankful. I'm talking about truly being thankful.
Amen.
Right? Secondly, I want you to notice that thanksgiving includes privileges to serve.
Mm.
Now, we're going to find this word charis again. Can you turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1? We're going to look at another occasion where the word charis is translated as translated as being thankful. You got 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank him. That's our word. If you read it literally, it says I grace him. You see, but he said I thank him who has given me strength. Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. And so, what I'm saying to you is that you may remember that in this context, Paul goes on to talk about how he remembers how awful he was before he was saved. He blasphemed God. He did some awful things to the people of God. But grace enabled him to remember his past sins and not be destroyed by it. Okay, it enabled him to remember. Grace enables you to remember your past sins without ungodly guilt and shame. And there's times, and I'm not the reason I use the word ungodly. There's times that the shame of your past should be there to keep you from going what?
Back.
There's times you should remember how awful that thing was to keep you from going back. But it shouldn't be ungodly. You shouldn't sit around and be all depressed. because of that. Christ has forgiven you for that. But don't ever forget it, you see? And so don't let ungodly guilt and shame come. What removes guilt? The blood. That's Christ's death. He paid the price for that. Almost all I did. So I'm free from that. Every time that that Satan brings those guilty thoughts, I can go back to the blood of Christ.
Amen.
It's the blood of Christ that set me free. But not only that, shame comes. And so how do I handle shame? Shame is handled with acceptance. Not only have I been forgiven, I have been accepted into the family of God. I belong to God. So the shame is gone.
Amen.
I'm in God's family now.
Amen.
Get it?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I deal with those thoughts and those issues. When Satan brings them up about what I used to do, what I used to be, it's the blood of Christ and God's acceptance of me.
Mm.
It's how you deal with guilt and shame. Grace enables the believer to be thankful for gospel ministry in spite of your past sin. So whatever God has assigned your hands to do, you know that it's that you don't deserve it, but I'm sure thankful.
Amen.
You know that people are talking about you and they don't believe you're real, but I'm thanking God that he's allowing me to serve him in this way.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I've done. I haven't forgotten what I've done,
mm-hmm.
but I'm forgetting those things in this way that lie behind. I'm not living in the past. I got to learn to forget those things that lie behind. What? Behind and what? Reach forward to those things that lie ahead and what? Press on.
Press on.
Right.
Press on.
Yes.
Press on. And so this is the great blessing of grace. Grace enables the believer to serve Christ with a clear conscience in spite of your past sins. In 2 Timothy, as he begins that paragraph starting with verse 3, he says, I thank God. Again, that's grace. I grace God. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day.
Mm.
Here's what I want you to remember. This time that I clearly am aware that I'm unworthy to be teaching and preaching and counseling and handling God's word. I know what this mouth has said. I know where these feet have been. I know where these hands have been.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awe-striking to me that I can be now diametrically opposed to all that I was.
Amen.
I'm a new man.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I am a new. Many of you didn't know me when I was my old man. But see, that man is dead.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
And so I know that I don't warrant
mm-hmm.
what God has called the privileges that He's given me to serve. Okay, this is a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
The privilege to serve God in any way,
uh-huh.
any way, just to be in the kingdom. Just a
Amen.
Privilege
Amen.
When you consider what you were and what
yeah.
you did.
Yeah.
Anything in the kingdom is a privilege.
Yeah. That's right.
Any service is a privilege.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I know, you see, these privileges given to me are not based on any merit.
Come on, brother. Come on.
That's the deal. That's perfect.
What I did was I did it not in service to the Lord. I was serving the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know it, but the evidence of it found me guilty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah.
Yeah. The evidence is too mounting against me. I found myself guilty. And so it's all of grace in spite of my past failures and sins. Therefore, I'm thankful.
Mm.
See, that I'm thankful because I know what it was, and I'm thankful that I know that God has given me this privilege because of grace, not because of my qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The same is true of you.
Amen.
If you think very carefully,
Amen.
You do not earn or merit anything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you something. If you think that the little things that you do are insignificant, here's what you need to remember. It's just like people on your job. There are people on your job, have you ever worked in a company where they don't empty the trash regularly? after a while, that's going to affect your productivity. The person who does it may not think that's a big deal. Or if you work in a place where the floors need to be clean, after a while, that's a dangerous environment. Right? And so you and I need to remember, in the kingdom, nothing is insignificant.
Amen.
That's the reason we're called a body.
Uh-huh.
If you slack off, if the hand thinks it can slack off just because it ain't getting attention at it, the body is going to suffer.
Amen.
Right? So I'm saying to all of you, be thankful. Whatever you do, and if you're not doing anything, you need to be doing something.
Amen.
You've been paid to serve.
Well,
find out how you're going to serve him at all.
Amen.
Serve him because you've got a privilege. This is a great privilege to serve. And so, any gospel ministry or service that you render to Christ is all of grace in spite of your sin, so you ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful. Then the last thing we want to look at real quickly is what I call grace and thanksgiving for gospel blessings. Not only do we have privileges, we got blessings that come what? Simply because of grace.
Amen.
Simply because of grace. Not because you live in America. Mm. Because of grace. Not because of your education.
Mm.
It's because of grace. Right? Now, what do I mean by that? Again, we're tracing the word charis through the scriptures. You got it? Can you turn to Romans 6 and verse 7? We're going to look at what I call thanksgiving for deliverance. You and I have been delivered. In Romans 6:17, Paul says you've been delivered from slavery to sin.
Yes.
You got it? Romans 6:17. But thanks be to God, that's our word, but grace be to God, that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to that standard of teaching to which you were once committed. You have been delivered from slavery to sin, so you ought to be thankful. Not only that, you've been delivered from slavery to the flesh. You see chapter 7 and verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh serve the law of sin. Mm-hmm. You've been delivered from that slavery, from the point to where you had to do what you felt like in your what made sense to you in your mind. This is just reasonable to me, so I do this. You've been free from that. You don't. It's not my will. What? But your will, Lord. Not what makes sense to me. I'm going to learn to trust in the Lord. How? All my heart, and not leaning on my faith, my education, my strategies. That's easy to say, isn't it?
Amen.
Living it out is the challenge.
Yeah.
It's easy to say trust in the Lord with all your heart, but the challenge comes when you try to live it out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you've been free. You've been set free. You can now. You can now because you are free.
Amen.
Been delivered.
Yeah.
You've been delivered. So we thank God for deliverance from slavery to sin. The verse that we looked at the very beginning, can you go over to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57? We thank God for deliverance from the fear and awful consequences of death. 1 Corinthians 15:57. He's here been talking about death being swallowed up in victory, and that the sting of death has been taken out. Then he says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. My brother, my sister, you've got to thank God that you're no longer cringing and afraid of death.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Now, nobody here has died, so it's a mystery in that sense, but what you know what's on the other side.
Amen.
Right? I'm free!
Yeah.
The devil can't threaten me with that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He can't. You see, that was what they tried to do to Luther. You remember that?
Yeah.
Told him to recant. Recant, Luther. Or you will suffer the consequences. I can't do it.
Uh-huh.
How can I do that? How can I deny what's true?
Amen.
Grace does not, grace no longer makes you think of all of the Christians who were thrown out to lions like fresh meat. And if you don't recant and denounce Jesus, you go to the lion just like everybody else.
Uh-huh.
You get burned at the stake just like everybody else. And I mean, not just one. I mean, and it's happening. It's happening to our brothers and sisters right now around the globe.
Yes,
the atrocities that are happening in Africa, it's awful to know things what Muslims are doing to Christians. While they make a father stand and watch the awful things that they do to his wife and his children.
Mm-hmm.
For him to try to force him to recant and deny Jesus, come to Allah,
mm-hmm.
bow down to Allah. Not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fear death. I've been set free from that.
Uh-huh.
See, that's what they thought with Christ. They thought that if we take him to the cross,
uh-huh.
If we threaten him with the ruler and crucifixion, he'll renounce this claim of being Messiah. They didn't know that he came to die.
Amen.
You and I were born to die.
Amen.
Is that right? As a matter of fact, you're already dead. You're dead to yourself.
Come on, brother.
You died to sin and to yourself, and you're what? Alive to God.
Yeah, that's right.
Alive to God. You may kill the body, but you can't touch my soul. I'm free.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Amen.
Not only that, I'm going to get a new body anyway.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Amen.
You just speeded up the process. You see, how can you be joyful about that? Because I know the truth.
Uh-huh.
I'm free.
Yes.
You got it?
Yes.
Grace sets you free from those off of it. And here's the thing about these blessings. You didn't earn it.
Uh-huh.
You didn't do a thing to earn these blessings of being set free. Also, we can thank God for provisions. Quickly, let's look at these three right here. Believers should be thankful for food. I think Jordan was the first one to say that. You remember when the children were talking? Well, the Bible says the same thing. 1 Corinthians 10:30, if you partake with thanksgiving, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? He's here talking about food, right? I give thanks for food, and you should likewise. Don't minimize that. Believers should also be thankful for financial provisions. A lot of times, You may take it for granted when you hear me and Brother Billy read these verses in 2 Corinthians 9. But listen at it. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Thank God for the financial provision that he makes for you and me. Believers should also be thankful for other people to assist in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse 16. But thanks be to God who puts into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. Remember, in every case, all that I've done is trace the word charis.
Uh-huh.
Grace be to God. Grace be to God for this. Grace be to God for food. Grace be to God for financial provision. Grace be to God for putting people in the ministry to help. That's all that we've seen. Grace, grace, grace uh-huh. makes you thankful. None of these provisions
Amen.
Are merited. I didn't earn any of it, so I need to be thankful for
Amen.
It. And then lastly, grace will make you thankful for any success that you have in evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Grace enables a believer to have love for God and people, regardless of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You see, grace enables you to love the one that you know means you know good.
Mm-hmm.
Grace enables you to love the one that has actually done nothing but harm to you. And the Bible clearly says, it's the kindness of God that what? Leads to his name.
Amen.
And so you've got to demonstrate that you love people that are unloved.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted them to come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Grace enabled you to do that. Not because of what's in them, because of what's in you.
Amen.
You're the one that knows the truth.
Amen.
They don't. You're alive. They what?
Dead.
They're dead. Why are you expecting them to act like they're alive?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Love. Grace enables you to love. And then after people are born again, grace enables you to love them not because they're perfect. Grace enables you to love them because they're in the family of God. They were saved by the same grace that you were. And God says, will you judge another man's servant? Right? Grace says, I can work with that. I can slow down. I can wait on you. Somebody waited on me.
Amen.
Right? I don't have to be impatient. I can begin to exercise. Y'all gonna be learning about the fruit of the Spirit? I can begin to exercise. By the way, the Bible didn't say pray for the fruit of the Spirit.
Come on, brother.
Do it.
Amen.
The Spirit is in you.
Amen.
Do it. God says, my grace is sufficient for what? Anything.
Yeah.
You need patience? Exercise.
Amen.
Don't pray about it. Do it. You need to love somebody? He didn't say pray about it. What did he say?
Amen.
Love
them. Amen.
That's it.
You need to have joy? You don't need to be praying about joy. Exercise it.
Amen.
That's freedom right there.
Peace, yeah. Patience, kindness, goodness,
yeah.
Faithfulness. You don't need to pray about faithfulness.
All right.
Do it.
Amen.
That is freedom
Amen.
Right there.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You see?
That's
what grace is.
Yeah.
Grace says you can do that.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right.
Not only that, you ain't arrogant because you know you didn't do it.
Well,
it's grace positive. If not me, but it's the grace of God what? In me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Telling you, don't minimize grace.
Yeah.
Don't minimize it. So, grace gives you desire and the power for evangelism.
Hmm.
Right? Remember that Philippians 2, I believe it is, talks about it's God who is at work in you both to what? Will and to work his good thing. You wouldn't even have the desire to take the gospel to someone if God didn't put it in you. Can't take credit for that. You can't say, well, that's just the way I am. No, it's not the way you are.
Amen.
No, it's not. It's the way God is, and that's the way God is making you. Amen. It's the way Christ is. And he's conforming you more and more into his image.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know if I've shown you this verse before, but I want to leave you with this verse. You see verse 16? And this is going to, many of you have heard this, but for those who haven't, you need to take note of 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. I want to read it first, and then I want to explain to you what I mean by you've got to trust God with the outcome.
Amen.
You see, after you have done what you're supposed to do in evangelism, you've got to leave the rest to Christ because you can't assume that God plans for everybody to be saved.
Amen.
Well, matter of fact, you don't. I mean, you pursue it hoping,
Amen.
But the outcome has to be left to Him.
You
got verse 16? Look at this. Now, the word fragrance here is actually the gospel.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the fragrance of what's being share is the gospel. Look at what he says. To one a fragrance from what?
Death
to death. The gospel came to condemn them. They were dead and they're going to what? Stay dead. To others a fragrance from life to life. Some are going to be saved by the gospel and they're going to go on and grow, have eternal life and grow. Who is sufficient for these things? That's what you need to ask. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are sealing people's destiny. Because those who reject it will have no excuse before Christ. You are part of God bringing that to pass.
Mm.
So that no one will stand before Him with an excuse.
Mm.
Amen.
And you cannot be wiped out because you get rejected. For some people, that was the purpose of you taking the gospel.
Amen.
Follow the life of Christ. Right? Many are what? Called, but few chose. Masses rejected him. Only a few received.
Right.
Why would you think you're going to be more effective? But he still took the gospel. He took the gospel to God already. God knew who was going to reject him, and he still. He says, he looked at Judas. I chose an honor of y'all, and I knew one of you was the devil.
That's right.
And they didn't know it because he treated Judas just as the same as everybody else. This is grace.
Amen, man.
This is grace.
All right. Well, I leave you again with just the fact that regardless of your age and your health, your finances, whatever your situation is, you know that you didn't earn it when it comes to evangelism. You know that whatever kind of success or whatever effectiveness you have in evangelism, you didn't earn it. If somebody comes to Christ on the basis of you sharing the gospel, thank God for it. You help them to point, help them to give. They're going to thank you, but you continue to point them to the Christ that saved them.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
That makes you thankful, and it makes them thankful. That's what's supposed to happen. So then, my brothers and sisters, we bring this whole matter to a close. I want you to see how grace makes you thankful and how grace stirs up thanksgiving. Grace shines the light of God in our lives, and then grace enables the believer to see clearly that it's God who's meeting my needs.
Amen.
Grace comes to shine the light so you can see that, right? And then you can see that in spite of my sins, in spite of my past, in spite of my failures, God still provides my needs. In spite of what I've been and what I've done, He still protects me. He still delivers me. He still grants me privileges to serve Him in the kingdom of God. He still gives me some measure of success. He still helps me when people reject me and when they slander me. He still helps me. He helps me when they're unjust on my job, when they do things wrong to my children, and when they all manner of evil is done against me. God still helps me.
Yes, He does.
He still helps me. And so grace enables you, because you, grace pulls, shines light in the situation, and it helps you to see clearly and to persevere. Grace, because of all that, then grace, for you and I, we can offer praise and thanksgiving, right? The Hebrew writer would say, we can offer the fruit of our lips. By the fruit of our lips, we can offer this praise offering to Christ. We can say, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. We can say, I will thank you, Lord, in the great congregation. We can say, I will thank you, Lord, forever. We can say, give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. Ah, as for me, I'll bless the Lord at all times. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, what? Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. And if you are not a Christian, you should be thankful too. Thankful that God is patient with you. You should be thankful that He provides for you, that He protects you. You should be thankful that He keeps you. If you're not a Christian, you should be thankful that He's made a way for your sin to be forgiven. If you're not a Christian, you need to take time right now and contemplate how good God is to you. And even right now, that He's given you an opportunity to come to Christ right now. You need to be thankful for that right now. You can be saved right now because God is faithful to you. And you need to be thankful that He has been that way all your life. Regardless of how old you are, He has been faithful to you. But if you're going to be saved, you've got to believe. If you're going to be saved, you've got to believe. The sermon is over. It's time now for you to respond. And if you're not a Christian, preaching will never save you. Reading your Bible won't save you. Listening to people won't save you. Christ is the only one that will save you. And if you're going to become a Christian, you've got to believe on Him. And as we bow to pray, I'm going to ask you to bow, pray in your own heart, and see by grace if God would have you to surrender to Him today. Our Father, we thank You for again, these few minutes that we had together in your presence and your word. I thank you for these, your people, that have by grace been patient with this lump of clay as we work through these truths. And now, Lord, I ask you for those who of us who believe to help us all to grow in grace, to grow in the knowledge of your Son, to help us to grow in thanksgiving, to help shine the light of grace in our own minds and hearts, that we might see how we can be more thankful and why we ought to be more thankful for every way you are working in our lives. And for that one that does not know Christ, would you meet them right where they are, draw them to yourself, and by grace save them. And for the one who simply needs to humble himself and obey you today, and whatever you're calling them to do, you promise that your grace is sufficient. So, Lord, may your will be done here among your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's bow together for just a few minutes.